I'm back with your stuff. So these are the things people can buy, spices, big sized, and how do we use them?
So we'll use them on the meat actually tonight. It's very simple. You just sprinkle them, dust them to taste, liberally, like, you know, generously, and then throw your meat on the grill. So there's a myth that we need to debunk. Mm-hmm. There are some people who will marinate with the dry rubs mm-hmm. for 6, 7, 8 hours. The flavor molecules are too thick to penetrate the meat anyway. Mm-hmm. So it's a complete waste of time. I usually season my meat probably an hour before. Tonight we're gonna do it 20 minutes before.
You need to keep a certain balance of acidity. So 8 hours of acidity with the meat.
This is a meat that is already very tender, so I don't think we need more than.
I have a bonus question.
Yes.
If you feel like removing your beard one day, what would you do?
We'd have to rebrand. That's not gonna happen.
Okay.
You know, I mean, there are some people who have this baby face.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we have a camera crew not too far away.
Yeah.
So without the beard, I look like him. No, I'm gonna hold on to that.
Okay. So, what do we have on the table? Please tell me in details. What do I see? What are the shapes? What are the sizes? What are the different?
So we have two of each cuts. We have two ribeyes and we have two strip loins. So there are a couple of things that are worth mentioning. Depending on where you are in the world, cuts have a different name.
Mm-hmm.
So strip loins are called sometimes sirloins, and sirloins are called something else. And so it can become very confusing. That's why you need to understand what they are and what they look like. A strip loin comes from the top part behind the rib cage. Okay? So it's still connected to the ribs. And if it is connected to the bone and it is there is a piece of tenderloin on the other side, it's called a T-bone. And if the T-bone is bigger, it's called a porterhouse steak, right? So this is where all those different steaks that you can see on the menus are connected. But usually the prime cuts, they all come from that, you know, top rear part of the cow.
You need to be a doctor and understand anatomy to understand anatomy. Meat.
Yeah. So talking about anatomy, this is a ribeye, right? So the ribeye has three parts. It's actually three different muscles. The spinalis, this is the ribeye cap. That's the most tender. That's the piece of the kings, you know.
Okay.
The eye of the ribeye is the main muscle, and then usually there is the small part. Sometimes you can usually find the ribeyes with this piece trimmed off because mm-hmm. it's a small piece of beef of meat, and there is a lot of connective tissues and fat.
Okay.
I leave it just because it adds flavor, mm-hmm. but usually when I serve, I trim that part out.
Okay.
Once it served its purpose to flavor the rest.
Chef, meat with sauce or without sauce?
Again, it's a matter of taste. So sometimes I do sauce and sometimes I do no sauce. Sometimes I do rubs, even my own rubs, and sometimes I just do salt and pepper. It really depends on the mood. If I was going for sauces, I would go for a peppercorn, black peppercorn sauce,
mm-hmm.
a mushroom sauce, a blue cheese sauce. Those are my three favorite ones. Then you have some more elaborated sauce like a béarnaise. Béarnaise is really, really great as well. Mm-hmm. But all of those, you always have the risk of overpowering the taste of the meat. If I have a good piece of meat, I want to taste the meat.
Exactly. So it comes the same way like putting soy sauce on all your sushi pieces and flooding soy sauce with all your makis and all your raw fish. So pay attention. You're paying the meat expensive. You're enjoying your meat. You chose your meat to have so much fat. You've given it to someone, a professional, to grill it in the best way possible, to keep it juicy on the inside. You have chosen to go USDA Prime, full flavor, and then comes that, I would call it cheap sauce that covers all the flavor. So put a sauce with chicken, meat, or whatever, you have the same flavor. So yes, sauce if you like it this way, but at least enjoy the first 2-3 bites, feel the meat, and then sauce comes next.
Explore.
Or probably use the sauce for the fries. Yeah.
That would be a better idea.
Okay.
And again, you know, it's a pairing. Similar, that's a wine pairing. You need to pair the sauces, you need to pair the sides, you need to pair everything because it's a complete dish. So we're going to have a look at the tenderloin. So as we said before, the tenderloin is a much leaner cut. Beautiful. You can see there is very little marbling. Now, this one here is a Australian beef, right? So it doesn't fall into the categories of prime or not. But as you can see, you have the smaller pieces. This is where usually you would do the tartare, the carpaccio. That's the Chateaubriand. That's the piece that goes into a Wellington.
So we can cook it as is in the oven or cut it slices for the grill.
So, see? Extremely lean, clean. I do pierrade with that. Mm-hmm. This is usually what you would do, the kebenaye, the tartare, because it's the most tender cut that you have in the whole...
So tender, no fat or little fat, if cleaned well, because it can be very chewy is if badly cleaned. And you can enjoy it medium rare. So let's talk about that point.
Yeah.
We hear lots of people asking for a well-done piece of beef. Guys, come on. It ends up like a piece of tire.
Yeah, I'm going to get in a lot of trouble because, you know, there are some people in my entourage who eat well done. Again, it's a matter of taste, right? So if somebody asks for a piece of meat well done, I will grill it well done. I will give them the caveat before that, you know, all the flavors are going to come out, the juices are going to come out.
Let me put it differently. Food is education. So you can educate yourself to eat it raw. You can educate yourself to enjoy sushi. You can educate yourself to enjoy everything if you understand it. To be able to appreciate coffee, you need to understand coffee. To be able to appreciate wine, you need to understand wine. So taking a step back on meat, medium rare or rare meat is super enjoyable, full of flavor, lots of juices. But you need to educate yourself to understand why you're eating raw meat and not having it overgrilled. So that mindset of I like my meat overcooked or well done, I'm not sure you know what is less cooked and how great it is or greater it is. So you need to adventure into it and don't be scared. It's all about learning and you'll find your way into it.
You heard the expression, it's an acquired taste.
Yes.
It's real. So when we have babies, they develop sweet taste bud first. So you give them chocolate, you give them sugar, they're on fire. You give them meat, you give them anything that is not in the sweet, they can't do it. Adults are the same. So we have an acquired taste and it can evolve with training. So, you know, venture into that. It's a beautiful world. And really, it's like poetry. Talking about poetry, I would like to surprise you with something.
Uh-huh. I am surprised. I didn't see them before.
I hope you guys are going to cut that, right? So.
I want to just tell them that I'm very happy that we met. I'm very happy that he accepted that we have this show together. I'm very happy that we just had one phone call and it all went on. We didn't prepare. We didn't have any other phone call to prepare what we're going to talk about. We've been ongoing for the last hour and the discussion is super interesting, at least on my end, and definitely yours, I think so. So accordingly, I would love to do it again more and more. And we hope we're reaching with lots of new messages that you've never heard about before or lots of unanswered questions that you have. And at the end, it ends up with me eating and you watching. This is how it goes.
However, you know, you have pointers. You know where to find great meat. You know how to choose great meat and you know how to grill it. So balls in your court now.
So we're going to say thank you again for... Meat House Gourmet for the supply. We're going to film every day, so if you want to send us meat.
Hint. So, Anthony.
Yeah. Okay, whoa, what's happening here?
Okay, so here we have two pieces of beef coming from Australia. Two tenderloins, right? So this is the regular tenderloin that would be the equivalent of a choice in the US. This is what someone who likes tenderloin would go for. It's very lean. It's very clean. It's going to be very juicy if we do it medium to medium rare. But look at that marbling. This is Stone Axe Wagyu MB9 Plus from Australia. That is the Rolls Royce of beef in Australia.
We're not going to tell them how much is the kilogram of this.
It's slightly more expensive than this, but it's worth it.
Slightly, huh? I know the price. Wow, but this is okay. I can't wait. So everyone around here, we're probably 5 or 6 behind the cameras. They're all they're all not hungry. They all had manaish all day long. You're all on diet. So we.
Yeah, you know, I mean, somebody has to do it.
Yeah, definitely, for you.
All right. So now we're gonna
next.
Go
to
the seasoning. The fire is ready. You can see how the grill is bending because of the heat.
Mm-hmm.
It will go back to normal after, but you know,
So when we first met, just to take a rewind on what happened when we first met, you didn't have these two lines under it.
Yeah.
So it was bending, like playing all across. So they were, you were obliged to add them.
Yeah.
The cross behind, under it.
Yeah, so it was reinforced.
Learning.
So remember, this is an R&D piece at first, right? So Exit 10 is developing their commercial lineup by playing with this. So with that wheel, you can lift or raise or lower the grill. Mm. Here we have roughly 10 centimeters above the fire, which is great because we will have access to a lot of heat. And because I only put wood and direct heat on a quarter of the grill. So I have, this is burning hot, this is warm, and this is cold. So I can play with my meat, and I can really turn it around.
Great to know. So you don't have to fire it up all in.
No.
You need to understand which part of it.
Yeah.
So now the spices, it's massage time.
It is. So what we'll do is we'll use the original, which is a blend that contains, you know, salt, pepper, paprika. So it's punchy, but not too spicy.
Mm-hmm.
But the brown sugar in it will really caramelize when we put it on the grill. It's absolutely beautiful. And then we will use the Bayou Blaze. And the Bayou Blaze is a Cajun-inspired blend.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit more fiery.
Okay.
There is cayenne pepper, red pepper, black pepper, white pepper.
Nice.
And the blend of herbs, it's really delicious. So those are just, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, the same.
No need.
Have a bit more of this
ta-da.
Stone Axe goodness. So, you know, it's important to note as well that, you know, you have to understand the meat, the provenance, the qualities, but like,
what makes Australian meat good, or what makes American meat good? So why these two countries have been known, definitely New Zealand as well, South America as well. But America and Australia compete serving the tender, lean, good meat.
So what makes a good meat? You have the genetics, so the breed of the cattle, which is why Wagyu is really on top.
Yeah.
So Wagyu just means Japanese cattle, right? Those are just the beef that have been raised traditionally for centuries in Japan. And probably, 40, 50 years ago, they started selling embryos to other countries.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why now you start having Wagyu in Europe, Wagyu in Australia, and other countries. In Japan, you have Wagyu, but you also have Kobe. So Kobe is the highest grade of Wagyu. It's a very small, controlled population. And that's the second thing. So first of all is what breed?
Yep.
How it is fed.
Mm-hmm.
Grain-fed versus grass-fed, so that has an effect as well. You were mentioning before the white fat. Some meat have yellow fat. So the yellow fat usually comes from breeds that have been fed with grass. Grass has chlorophyll and carotene that feeds into the bloodstream and colors the meat and colors the... So the meat is going to be a different color, and the fat is going to be a different color as well.
The edge of American meat is they brag about their 3 months corn fed at the end. It's a country loaded with corn. They have lots of corn, and they brag about it. And this is what gives it more flavor, more intense flavor, and a balanced fat. This is why prime beef has 3 months fed on corn usually. And there are lots of certifications, of which certified Angus beef and others, which require to have the greatest and the best quality out there. So when you see a certain certification and you see or you read on it Prime USDA, it is what it is.
It's a quality label, right? So you understand that it has passed a certain level of tests and you don't need to worry. Mm-hmm. It's a lot more complicated in Europe where you have access to dozens of very small breeds of cattle. And then, you know, there is one guy who does 20 piece. How do you check the quality? Yeah. You can expect the quality will be very high, but there is no label for that. Yeah. You know, there are the European norms that are there to protect the consumer, but it's not as straightforward as saying, well, this is USDA Prime, period.
So now with the wind turning around and coming our way, I think I'm going to sleep in the parking tonight.
We have guest bedrooms.
Could you? Oh, smells good. Aha!
So this is a Wellington, right?
This is a Wellington.
So you can see the puff pastry. It's two layers. One is full and one is slightly cut just for decoration purpose.
Looks so nice. Whoa!
So we're going to let it rest a little bit. We're just going to start seasoning the rest of the meat.
It smells so good. It looks so good. It feels like a cake. It feels like a croissant loaded with meat. Oh my goodness.
I know.
It's heaven.
I know.
Okay. So we turn it into something probably more interesting. So you spice, I eat.
Yeah, okay. You know, man.
Spicing time.
Spicing time.
Come on, let's do it.
Okay. So we'll start with the ribeyes. I'm going to coat it, mm-hmm. throw it on the grill.
Okay.
I'm going to do one ribeye, one strip loin, and then two of each of the tenderloins.
Okay.
With the original. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to prepare the rest with the Bayou Blaze. And then one skirt with the Bayou Blaze as well.
Okay.
And the rest is going to go back into the fridge.
Excellent. So how much time do you think the meat needs on the grill? Is it a question of shape? You look at it, you feel it, you touch it, you put your finger into it. How does an amateur need to think?
Right. So there are different schools. Okay. It's almost never going to be a time. Mm-hmm. You cook to temperature. And this is why there are lots of people who will tell you need to take your meat out of the fridge and put it to room temperature and then put it on the grill. Mm-hmm. I personally believe that absolutely doesn't matter, mm-hmm. because you go from the temperature of the meat to the desired temperature. So rare has a temperature, medium rare, medium has a temperature, and so on and so
which,
forth.
Which you would put the temperature
so
and
you have
it?
A probe. You can probe the temperature to make sure that it is what you need. So in a restaurant, you would typically do that systematically for chicken because you absolutely cannot afford to have raw or undercooked chicken or pork. For beef, I personally go with the touch.
So you right? play the...
So, you know, there is this trick
yeah.
where you pinch your two fingers, uh-huh. right? And what happens is the thumb muscle here becomes tighter the more you contract it. So rare, medium well done.
Yeah.
Right? And once you get used to that, you recognize it. After some point, you just know, I know from the flabbiness, right? So when I take it, and depending on how it moves and jiggles, I know if it's how I want it or not.
Okay.
So that just comes with experience.
Interesting day, interesting learning, interesting episode. I would need 2 days to digest.
The episode, the knowledge, or the meat?
Not the knowledge.
Right?
Massage.
So because it's a thick cut,
give it some love.
I'm coating also the sides. And the reason why I like a thick cut is I usually prefer to have it seared on the outside. Mm-hmm. So really almost crunchy, the spices, mm-hmm. but still have it very juicy and medium or medium rare on the inside.
Okay, one. So we remind everyone that they can buy those spices online.
They can buy them online. If you go on smokingbeards.com, you have the list of resellers where you can acquire them in the UAE. We also sell in France, mm-hmm. in the Philippines.
Okay.
And soon it's going to expand in other countries.
Great. So for the fries, meanwhile, you You cook them twice to...
So I do two baths. The first one is done. Okay. They're going to go back inside. Now you can notice that they are quite white still. Mm-hmm. They're almost done, but they're still very white.
Yeah.
That's because they have been blanched in vinegar water.
Okay.
And that basically protects the starch is not going to brown when it starts cooking. Mm-hmm. Well, hello.
So it's always better to spice up your meat, or you keep it as is?
Meaning?
So is this necessary?
No, it's not. It's not. Now, those are relatively well balanced. I'm biased because I made them.
But anyway, we're going to feel the real flavor of meat on the inside, which...
Because it's a thick cut.
Yes.
And that's the reason why I can be a bit generous on the outside. And really play with that. But as I said earlier, you know, like typically if I would go with a sauce, I would do just salt and pepper so as to not overload the flavor of the meat. All right. Onto the grill. So I'm going to go on the direct heat. You can hear the sizzle.
Wow. Fred, what's happening? 5 minutes past.
Right, so we're going to turn them. I'm just going to try to be in the... You see that brown?
Uh-huh.
So we've achieved already a little bit of the Maillard reaction.
Okay. So now at this part, probably it's cooking at a millimeter or two?
Yeah. So I'm just going to group them a bit more towards the live fire.
So never press, only turn.
Yeah. And you know, so one of the things, you have to wait a little bit, because if you put it on the grill and you turn it before it's cooked, the surface, all of your seasoning is going to stay on the grill.
Okay.
Right, so wait until it's a bit, you know, solid, okay. And then do the flip.
Very good. Meanwhile, we're going to go back and taste the, or try or cut the beef Wellington. So beef Wellington, as we said, is something that takes time to prepare, time to cook. It needs an oven. It's
not easy to make, okay? So
very hard to make. Beautifully, beautiful on the inside. Okay. Oh my goodness, this is what we're talking about.
Right, so you can see the Duxelles, which is this mix. It's cumbersome to make,
mm-hmm.
Right? So if you don't want to make it yourself and spend the time, effort, and energy, Meat House Gourmet sell those, 1 kilo. You can just pop it in the oven for half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just perfect.
So Fred did this himself all day long, but usually you can find it at the Meat House Gourmet. Or no?
Yes.
No, oh yeah.
No, we cannot lie, Antonio. We cannot lie.
Okay. Oof. Oof, with a little bit of mustard. With a little
it's
bit
beautiful.
Of
and
Dijon
smell that.
Mustard. Okay. It smells like heaven. Super tender. Super extremely tender.
So to me, this is one of the best uses of a tenderloin. Mm. This is delicious.
Man, the flavor. Oh my goodness. The tenderness of the meat, the quality of the meat, the flakiness of the dough or the crust.
The flavors of the outer rim.
Fred, one is never enough.
No, I know. Thank God we have a full Wellington.
So probably it's a wrap. Sorry, the episode is done. We're so busy doing other things. Oh my goodness. Man. Oof. We're just doing this because we're filming.
It's a tough job, right?
It's a very tough job.
Somebody has to do it.
It is a tough job.
Back to this. What do we have here? You're cutting it, preparing it.
Yeah, so this is the outside skirt.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to make a little bit of room there.
Oof. Ah, amazing. Amazing. They would definitely, the team and the crew would definitely appreciate it more if they wait another half an hour before trying.
You know, it's, look at that. So it's a very long piece.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, it's the upper part of the plate.
Yeah.
And this is just going to be an explosion of flavor.
Beautiful.
So skirt is a secondary cut. Okay. So it's usually, I'm just going to cut it in half for practicality. It's easier to put on the grill.
Okay.
There are some countries where it's considered offal.
Mm-hmm.
So even in Japan, these are intestines. It's in the same category. So it's a lot cheaper. There is no import tax and everything. But man, you'll see. I mean, once it's on the grill, it is just, it's beautiful.
Super tender.
It's super
in
tender.
In one piece.
Yeah.
And please, now that you removed it from the pack, you were talking about how to cut it. So now that we see the stripes.
You can see the stripes, right?
Yeah.
So you will see the difference if I cut it with the grain or if I cut it against the grain.
Okay.
We'll do the test after cooking,
mm-hmm.
and you will just see the difference in chewiness.
Okay.
And this is it's a warning, right? Because you can get an extremely good piece of meat, grill it perfectly, and still mess it up at the moment of serving before eating.
Okay.
So that's why you need to understand your meat.
Back to where the fun is. Okay, now we're talking. Things getting ready. Beautiful marbling, caramelization at its finest.
So see, I'm going to take the tenderloin out of the live fire,
mm-hmm.
put them on indirect heat,
mm-hmm.
because there is not enough fat and juice inside.
Mm-hmm.
It just will dry out.
Nice.
I like the flames, huh?
Very nice.
Everybody likes the flames.
Beautiful. I came back with something very fun. I came back with the mustard that is needed for the Wellington to double the spices and the flavor and the aromas and the umami, so you can enjoy it.
Thanks God we still have half of a Wellington to test that.
Woohoo! Meanwhile, what's happening here? Did you remove it?
So I just removed them from the direct heat. As you can see, you know, we talked about this, the trick, right?
Yeah.
You can see how it wobbles.
So you're resting mid-process?
No, those are ready.
Oh, those are ready?
Yeah, those are actually medium well.
Okay.
And this one will be medium rare to rare.
Uh-huh.
That's what we want.
Oh, beautiful. So all in all, it probably took around 10, 15 minutes, depending on how intense the fire is. Meanwhile, we have our first batch of fries, golden, beautiful fries. Lightly flaky on the outside, not crispy, and super, super tender on the inside with beautiful taste. They're lightly yellow, not burned. Oh man.
So Mary's Piper from the UK, very starchy, hand cut, with the skin on. You blanch them in vinegar water for 10 minutes to remove the excess starch and activate the rest of the starch so they don't brown when you grill them. A little bit of 10% of tallow in the vegetable oil and 2 baths.
Fred, meanwhile, let me reconfirm that Dubai is a foodie destination. Let me reconfirm that you can find anything you want in Dubai. It's probably in a place where lots of things are not being produced in this country, but in this country you can find anything you want. You can find the best meats of the world, the best salmon of the world, the best seafood of the world. Everything's fresh, made to order the same day. Lots of things are chilled and not frozen, because in Dubai, if you didn't know yet, there are more than 24,000 food establishments. 24,000 food establishments, of which 18,000 restaurants on the delivery platforms and 12,000 real restaurants you can eat from. Competition is very high. Quality is very, very high. So when you say Dubai, yes, it has become the international food destination of everyone who wants to enjoy good quality, great flavors, great produce, imported daily on all the planes that connect the Dubai airport with the world.
Absolutely, and this really drives the whole food economy, but also drives the education of the taste buds of the consumers in the country.
Next, second round of seasoning.
Yeah, so this one is the Bayou Blaze. So as I said, it's a Cajun spice. It's a bit more on the spicy.
So you covered it all.
Yeah.
We don't see the meat anymore. Well, generous.
Yeah, you have to be generous.
Yes, to buy more from you, yeah, I understand.
Also, the thing is, the skirt is going to draw a lot of fat.
Yeah.
So all of that is going to drip into the grill.
Okay.
And you want some of the flavor to remain on the cooked meat, yeah?
So these spices can be used for something else?
Yes. So you can use them in soups. You can use them on popcorn.
Okay. Popcorn, that's a good idea.
It's amazing. You can do, a friend of mine is doing margaritas with that, to dust the glass, you know?
Nice.
The applications are multiple. My mom used them in vinaigrette when she makes salads.
Mm-hmm.
My son uses them in omelettes. Or so it's really, I mean, every day I have a customer or a friend who comes and say, hey, by the way, I use this on that. It's amazing.
So please buy them more.
Buy them more, play with them, tell us with what you've used them.
We're reaching probably halfway of our episode before we start with the tasting part. And we would remind them that we got our meats from our good friends and a great supplier at, here I am, back from under the table, of the Meat House Gourmet, which they can order online. And this is what you did, and you can choose any cuts of meat that are from your liking, American, Australian, or other parts of the world. Chilled, as we said, not frozen. They need to be consumed within the next 3 days or frozen immediately, and they come from all across the globe and have a shelf life of usually a month or plus or minus. Great. So while we wait for another 15 minutes for those, can we taste previous ones?
Yeah, let me just finish this and I'll bring the others and we'll start. That's gonna be good.
I'm ready. It smells good.
Put that. I need more real estate on the planche. It was a very rhythmic exercise.
I'm going to start by cleaning this to be able to feel.
Mm-hmm. Look at that. Okay, so we'll start with a small tenderloin. So those are slices from the Chateaubriand, the center part of the tenderloin.
Yeah.
This is the Australian non-Wagyu. So it's going to be a bit more on the medium well.
Wow. Is it the meat or your knife?
It's probably both. sharp knives matter.
Whoa. Super juicy, red, tender.
That's how I like tenderloin.
Let's start from the outside to the inside. Your spices are great. Nice, fresh, tickle the tongue, not overpowering. Travel slowly and smoothly to the throat, activate the palate, and then boom, comes the real flavor of meat. Loaded with flavor, super intense. Real rich proteins and flavor of meat. Light, tender, buttery with texture. It doesn't melt under the mouth. It just plays around the teeth.
There is something happening in your mouth, right?
Full bodied. Next.
So that one is the same. So we're just gonna save ourselves. Now, this, my friend, this is the Stone Axe Wagyu.
Oh.
Tenderloin as well, but I want you to cut through that and I want you to see the difference between the two tenderloins that are technically the same cut.
Ooh. Oh man. Oh man, you see the little white dots, lots of marbling, fat.
And see the
inside.
Fat has become translucent. So it has rendered it transformed into flavor.
Super juicy. So the marbling on the outside, the crust on the outside, the caramelization on the outside left all these juices on the inside. Man, oh my God. I wish we have a macro lens. The white shiny marbling is phenomenal.
Oh my God.
Oh my goodness.
That's the flavor of true blood Wagyu beef.
My eyes closed alone. Wow. What the freaking hell is this?
So what we need there, we need, you know, those mirror when the TV shuts down. Ding!
Yeah.
We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Wow. Next. So this is a...
There should be nothing after that.
Anjad.
So that's the strip loin.
More on the well done side.
Yeah.
But yet...
Medium.
What great quality. White meat, juicy on the inside, nicely fatty on the sides, which we can keep or remove. I would prefer to... Clean up
so
a bit.
I would typically trim the fat cap, yeah?
Can we film another episode every day?
Yeah. You see, the more marbling you have, the more flavor there is in the meat because it's prime. It's the same spices on it.
This cow has been on a very impressive diet. Whoa. And then,
the
last
ribeye.
But not least.
So for the ribeye, there is a little bit of science in it, right? Remember, we have three muscles.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask you to cut around this part here to separate the two muscles. So that's
we're
the
not,
eye
we're
of the ribeye.
We're not throwing those, huh?
No, we're not. This is actually the best cut, in my opinion.
Oof. Wow. Wow, Shmaul. Yes, red, all the way. Yes, all the way.
Jim, a bit more chewy, there is more texture. There's also a lot more flavor. Now, what we have is we have an excellent strip loin, and we've had a fantastic tenderloin. Now, the spinalis.
Wow, man.
Just cut a slice in the middle to avoid the fat on the sides.
and this is Art. Dear vegans,
we're sorry for you. Can we keep that or have to trim it?
Sure. Oh man, طلع أنا. Amazing light, amazing shininess, amazing color.
I know.
Beautiful.
Let's back flip the rest.
Now that's my thing. It's it's well
straight
cooked.
Off the grill.
Straight off the grill, and then. Ah, so anyway, it's hard to handle, and very good quality. Very, very, very good quality. It is. I would say medium. Well done.
Medium.
Clean up a little bit. Super. The fat explodes under your teeth. Eesh. So this is the cut I've had. Oh, just okay, wait. Now we're talking. I think we started with the wrong one. Oof.
Because I have the gloves. Oops. Still very wobbly.
This is wow. Super wow.
And you can see the texture. Right, so it oozes a little bit more, but it's not dramatic.
Because it's good quality beef. Yeah? It's not that quality that was frozen, loaded with water, and just good stuff. Good stuff. It's time to say goodbye. I hope you like the episode and enjoyed all the learning and all the things we shared with you. We're probably going to come back with a lot more things, definitely burgers and lots of other cuts. We started today with an American and an Australian. The differences are clear. People love it, love this one or this one. We're not saying one is better than the other. It's a culture of more fat versus a culture of more flavor, a culture of corn fed versus a culture of being grass-fed and wild and open in the wild in Australia. We hope you enjoyed the show and meet us with more shows coming up. Any question, please leave it in the comment. Don't forget to follow this guy, Smoking Beards, and or book him for an event or buy his spices.
And most importantly, just enjoy.
And whenever you want to enjoy it at home, don't forget Meat House Gourmet and order it your way. Let's go crazy.
Oh, that's the way.
Man.
So it's so tender. So tender. Cut.